If you're a pre-retiree, is that a thing? A pre-retiree, someone who's not quite a retiree? You're probably thinking a little bit about how you're going to maximize your income in retirement. The answer is not simple. And that's because there's a whole bunch of complexity. There's myths, there are pitfalls that might be preventing you from making the most out of those savings that you worked so hard to cobble together. Steve Bridge is an advice-only financial planner, money coach at Money Coaches Canada. He's here to take us through some of the most common myths and pitfalls that he has seen in his work with retirement planning clients. Hello there, Steve.
Hello, Bruce.
There is a lot on this, and I think one of the views that we share, you and I share, is that there's so much focus on save, 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 and here's how you save, and here's how you save, and diversify and save, and low fees, and save, save, save. We spend very little time on what happens after that when you're in the decumulation phase. So on this program, we're trying to do more on that front, and I want to ask, first off, on the pitfall front, the first one that you flagged is not knowing how much you are going to spend or want to spend in retirement. This is a very, very tough question, and yet it is pivotal for the math. So how do people do it right?
100% pivotal. And it involves getting a little bit granular about what you're spending now and what's going to change in retirement. For example, you're not saving anymore. Your kids may be out of the house now. So you're spending less on groceries, for example. You might go down from two cars to one car. So things like that. There can be big changes.
Big changes. How do you reflect what some people call the three phases of retirement, the go-go, slow-go, and no-go, because spending can be quite different depending on how those phases go for you and how long they are?
Yeah, super individual, isn't it? Because it depends on what both spouses want to do. Do they want to travel, or do they want to relax, or do they want to do some consulting work? Do they have health issues? Do they anticipate needing more money for health care later on in life? You know, talk about, you know, family history, et cetera. So it is so individual, Bruce, to your specific situation. Yep.
One myth you highlight is you can't withdraw from your RRSPs before age 71. And I feel a little mixed about talking about this myth, because I would love for everybody to think you can never withdraw from your RRSPs so they don't use the money to buy a car or something like that. But it's true. You can withdraw the money at any time. There's just consequences. Take us through how a scenario in which someone might want to withdraw from their RRSPs. Maybe at 70, maybe well before that.
Yeah, and actually, I'm a big fan of starting withdrawing from RSPs right away. Like, let's say you retire at age 60. I say, let's start withdrawing from the RSPs then, or a defined contribution pension plan, which you have to turn into a LIF, as early as possible, because there's no other tax base of income, Bruce. You are getting that money out at the lowest possible tax rate that you will ever get it out.
Right.
And even if you don't need it, even if you don't need the money, put it into a TFSA, put it into a non-registered account, but use that as your spending money.
And of course, the 71 is the requirement that you convert your RSP into a RIF. What do your clients not know that they should know, or that it would be helpful to know about the RIF?
About the RIF, really, it's the two big differences between the RSP and the RIF is that you cannot contribute to a RIF, and that it's mandatory to withdraw a certain percentage each year from a RIF. The other huge thing, Bruce, is that all of that money, when the last spouse passes, is taxable as income. If you have $500,000 in your RIF or RSP when you die, it's taxable as income. You're losing half the tax,
which is a link to the pitfall here about you get it out, but there's places you can put it. So you talk about the pitfall of not having diversified investment accounts, RSP, TFSA, non-registered account, which is not that common, and a spousal RRSP. How does someone think through how many accounts they? I mean, as I riffed them off, as I reamed them off there, I was like, oh my god, that's a lot of accounts.
Yeah, and that's where, like, a professional could help you. But in an ideal scenario, you and your partner have equal money in RSPs, TFSAs, and you've both contributed to non-registered investment accounts in equal amounts. That's an ideal scenario. A spousal RSP can help if there's a big discrepancy in income between one partner and the other. But having money in all three of these accounts, and maybe some people have pensions as well, so if one person has a pension, maybe the other partner has more in their RRSP. But what you want is to be, you're setting yourself up to draw money equally at retirement.
Mm. One other pitfall here, taking CPP at age 60. And I've heard people have come up to me and said, I'm going to start taking it now because who knows how long I'm going to live. And it's I want that money. This is not the best financial decision.
It really isn't. And I hear all the time that people are going to take it at 60. You know, read any of those comment sections from online articles, right? And CPP is going to run out. I'm going to take it now in case I die. That's fine. If you've got health issues that you have a shortened life expectancy, fine, take it at 60. If you 100% need that money to survive, fine, take it at 60. But you are punishing yourself for the rest of your life by taking it at 60 because, as you know, you receive 0.6% less for each month that you take it before 65. That means 36% less each month the rest of your life if you take it at 60. And if you live to 90 or 95, that is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. Now, I'm going to do your commercial for you. There is a lot of discussion about financial advisors, either fee only or those that charge a commission, whatever. Mm. The debate becomes much more focused after someone has retired because it seems to me this is the area or this is the life stage in which the value of the advisor is so much higher.
100%. And I can't tell you, Bruce, how often I hear from my clients or other people saying that their advisor, Reed Investment Advisor, has told them to take their CPP at 60.
Mm.
And it drives me a little bit nuts. And I'm not saying it's because they'll collect commission for longer, but I'm not sure why you wouldn't help people reduce the amount of tax they're going to pay.
Yeah. Just to complete that thought, your assertion is if an advisor is not operating in the best interest of their client, they just want to keep the assets under management as long as they can.
Yeah. Absolutely. 100%. And a lot of people, this is why it goes to the, this ties into the myth of I can't take money from my RSP before 71. A lot of people think that because they've been told that.
Right. And really, they could. And you know, I hope they aren't taking a reverse mortgage instead. But lots to focus on, Steve. Thank you for your time.
You're more than welcome, Bruce. Always a pleasure.
Steve Bridge is an advice-only financial planner. He's with Money Coaches Canada. And our focus was on some of the myths and pitfalls around retirement income.